Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Tomorrow, voters will show up to polling stations around the nation to cast their votes. And while most eyes are on the presidential election, here in Wisconsin, there are a lot of smaller races getting attention. Earlier this year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ordered new legislative maps be drawn, putting an end to one of the worst gerrymandered maps in the U.S. and evening the playing field for Democratic and Republican politicians. John Johnson is a research fellow at Marquette University's Lubar Center, and he's been analyzing the most competitive races in Wisconsin. He joins me now to talk about those races and what to expect after Election Day. John, thank you so much for being here.
It's nice to be back.
To start here, this is the first election in more than a decade where we're likely to see some major changes to the Wisconsin legislature. Give us a rundown. What is likely to happen as a result of these new maps?
Let's start with the state Senate because it's simpler. Republicans will lose their supermajority. There's 4 competitive seats among the 16 that we're voting for, all the even-numbered Senate seats. And Republicans are defending all 4 of those. They'll likely lose 3, and then the 4th one is going to be really close. That's the one, the 8th district, that's in the northern Milwaukee suburbs that many of these listeners will have seen ads for.
What about the assembly? Because that's a much more unwieldy.
All 99, all 99, yeah. Yeah, so there's so many stories you could talk about there. But to really sum it up, you know, unlike in the state Senate where we only elect half the seats, because we elect all the seats in the assembly, there is a chance that Democrats could win a majority. The forecast I've seen put it at, you know, maybe a 30, 32% chance, 1 in 3, let's say. But the Democrats will definitely win a lot more seats. You know, even in a bad night, they're going to win 45. And in a good night, it could be 50, which would be a majority, or, you know, the high 40s or something like that. And so depending on how closely divided that chamber is, even if it's a slim Republican majority, we might see a lot of changes. We might see a new speaker. We'll certainly see, I think, a different relationship between the two chambers.
So let's dig into where that kind of wiggle room is. We've talked about this previously. Even though Democrats are likely to pick up a number of seats, there aren't really that many competitive races. There are some, though, so let's look at them.
Yeah, so there's 2 assembly seats in the Milwaukee area that are pretty competitive. The 21st, that's like Oak Creek into the southern part of Milwaukee. Jesse Rodriguez is the Republican incumbent there. Then we have a rematch between Bob Donovan and Luann Bird in the 61st district, which is the southwestern Milwaukee suburbs. Those are really the only 2 in the Milwaukee area that I'm watching closely. Then there's the Sheboygan district. There's 1 around Nina and Menasha. There's a couple in the Green Bay suburbs that are just razor thin between the 2 of them. Wausau is going to be competitive. There's a couple seats in the Eau Claire area. There's 1 in the St. Paul suburbs. If Democrats pick up that one because it does lean Republican, that'll be a really good night for them. But that's sort of one you can pick out as, you know, check in on that seat on Tuesday night. It's the 90th Assembly District. And if it's close, that's probably a good sign for Democrats. And then the La Crosse area has a competitive seat as well, the 94th district, which is represented by a Democratic incumbent who's had success at running better than Democrats at the top of the ticket had. So you'll notice that Madison is not really represented on that list. There's a lot of safe Democratic seats. The one exception to that is probably the Todd Novak seat over there, where he's maybe arguably the most moderate, one of the most moderate members of the Republican caucus in the assembly. And he has kept on winning in that seat in the past, even when Democrats did well at the top of the ticket. It'll be interesting to see if he can pull off that kind of underdog victory again this time, because the district has become even more Democratic leaning under the new boundaries.
One of the things I noticed, because I looked at your analysis of some of these races, is they vary widely in how many points somebody might win by. So, you know, one district, I remember Bob Donovan's was like +2 Republican, but then there were others that were more like plus 10 Republican plus 10 Democratic. And I wonder why these are still considered competitive. Is it that these are really just smaller races, and so it comes down to, you know, 200, 300 votes? Is that why they're still competitive?
So, you know, obviously the closer you get to that 10-point lean, the less competitive it is. But when I've looked at the last decade or so of assembly races, that's about the biggest swing that we see is 10 points, which is to say like a 55% to 45% race, that would be a 10-point swing. So we do see those happen occasionally, which is why I include them in the list. Obviously, they're less common than in a race that's, you know, only divided by 2 points. Beyond 10 points, it's pretty rare to see a race move that much.
Sure. But these are essentially just smaller turnout because they're smaller elections versus, you know, if we were talking about a 10-point difference at, you know, the U.S. Senate race, that would be wild.
Yeah. Right. So I think the reason why you can see those bigger swings is because in these assembly races, which have about 60,000 people in each district, fewer adults, fewer voters, the races are small enough that more of the voters are making their opinion based on an actual experience they have with that candidate. So you do see a bit of ticket splitting, less than you used to, but still some. And so you can sometimes get slightly surprising results in those races. The Bob Donovan-Lou Anne Bird race is an example where Bob Donovan actually did quite well in that race compared to other Republicans who were running for governor or Senate.
Sure. There are some congressional races, of course, that are happening in the state of Wisconsin. Are there any that you're really watching?
The congressional map is less interesting than the state legislative one, the fewer competitive seats. But the 3rd District in southwestern Wisconsin has gotten a lot of spending. This was held by Democrats for a long time. Ron Kind retired, and he was replaced by Derek Van Orden, who won that seat by a closer margin in 2022 than expected. National Democratic organizations who fund a lot of these campaigns has kind of written that seat off as Republican, and then it was so close, there was a lot of anger on the part of Wisconsin Democrats that the National Party hadn't taken that seat seriously. And so this time it's been quite closely contested, at least in terms of the dollars that are being spent there. On the other hand, we've seen the Republican Party under Donald Trump do very well in rural areas. So if that swing continues, then I think Van Orden will win easily. If Democrats are able to turn the tide on that a little bit, then that could be an interesting race to watch late into the evening.
What are your expectations for Election Day?
So the polls close at 8. I think we'll start seeing the first results come in at 9. I think some people maybe don't know this. A sort of weird thing about the way elections are administered in much of the country and in Wisconsin is that the results are only reported by each of the 72 counties on election night. So the only reason we know who's winning is because news organizations go to each of those 72 counties, whether online or sometimes in person, and find out what the election result is. But the Wisconsin Election Commission, the state agency, does not know for weeks after the election how those counties have voted. So anyway, that's just some inside baseball of how the vote gets counted and why you do need to go to the New York Times or your local newspaper or CNN or something like that to see who the winners are. WUWM, that's right. Do you guys have the AP feed? Is that how you do it? Nice. Yeah. So WUWM, great choice. The city of Milwaukee is going to have a ton of ballots to count at their central count location. And in an interview, the head of the Milwaukee Elections Commission said that she expected them to finish probably after midnight. I think the race will be so close for president and maybe Senate in Wisconsin that we'll likely need to wait until all of the city of Milwaukee ballots are in to know who the winner will be. So I expect that to happen sometime very early Wednesday morning.
Okay. But you expect to wake up then on Wednesday and have a general idea of how the election went.
Well, me personally, I'm not going to bed. But yes, for those of you who are getting some sleep, I think you'll know the winner in Wisconsin on Wednesday morning. Nationally, that may not be the case because there are some key states that count mailed-in ballots that are postmarked by Election Day. And so they have to wait until those ballots have arrived to know what their final total is. In Wisconsin, they have to receive the mailed ballot on Election Day.
When we're looking at specifically state politics here in Wisconsin, how do you think things are likely to change as a result of this election?
So Robin Voss, the Republican Speaker of the Assembly, is going around saying that if they don't win at least like 55 or more seats, the Republicans in the Assembly, that he's out as Speaker because of this group of kind of far-right election denier Republicans in the chamber who hate him and won't vote for him as Speaker. I don't know if that's true. I'm not going to second guess Robin Voss's own headcount of his caucus. But if there's a slim Republican majority in that chamber, which is very possible given the map, it could be a totally open Speaker fight in that chamber, which I think is, it's so hard to know how that's going to go. Something like that hasn't happened for a long time. And the person who gets chosen to be in that role will have a lot of control over if bipartisan legislation is brought up for a vote, or if they would be to take an approach more like the House of Representatives and Congress, where there's just gridlock. On the other hand, if there's a slim Democratic majority in the Assembly, I expect that they will vote on a lot of their sort of ideal legislation, even though the state Senate, which will still be controlled by Republicans, won't pass such a thing. But, you know, they'll do it to make a point, I imagine. And in any case, Tony Evers is going to breathe a little easier because the Republicans will lose the supermajority that allows them to impeach his cabinet officials in the state Senate. They'll no longer have that ability after this election. And Republicans don't have a supermajority in the Assembly right now, but they're so close that if not enough Democrats are able to make it back to the Capitol for a vote, theoretically they could override a veto. And the balance will be much more even after this election, making that not really something for the governor to worry about.
All right. Well, we'll see what the future holds. John, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you.
John Johnson is a research fellow at Marquette University's Lubar Center.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.